Chapter 3. Antichrist, an enemy under a mask. In order to introduce ourselves to our subject, we have taken it for granted that the system described by Paul in the passage we have just quoted is the papacy. This is the thing to be established. We now proceed to prove this, and provided we shall show on good and conclusive grounds that the system depicted by Paul is the Roman apostasy, and that this is the same system which Daniel and John have portrayed under symbolic imagery, it will follow that one who admits the Bible to be the Word of God, and that Paul wrote by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, must believe that the papacy, that is, the Roman apostasy, is the Antichrist of Scripture. This is not a point of mere speculation. It is a question that has attendant upon it great practical issues. This inquiry has for its object the ascertainment of the true meaning of an important part of the Word of God, even the better half of its prophecies. Moreover, on this question must rest the verdict we are to pronounce on that society which calls itself the Church, as also the revelations in which we are to stand to it. And on it too must depend whether we shall abandon or whether we shall continue to occupy the ground which we have been accustomed to regard as our divine central position in our war with popery, or rather, whether we ought not to end this war and confess that we have been fighting all along under a mistake. Who is Antichrist? It will help us to the right answer to this question if we shall first determine what is Antichrist. Antichrist is an enemy who makes war with the Son of God. Of that there is no doubt. But what is the form of this war? And under what character does Antichrist carry it on? Does he wage it openly, or does he fight it under a mask? Does he take the field as an open rebel and a declared foe, or does he come as a friendly adherent who professes to bring support and help to the cause which in reality he seeks to undermine and destroy? To determine this point, let us look at the meaning of the word Antichrist as employed in Scripture. The reader sees that the term is a composite one, being made up of two words, anti and Christ. The name is one of new formation, being compounded, it would seem, for this very enemy, and by its etymology expressing more exactly and perfectly his character than any older word could. The precise question now before us is this: what is the precise sense of anti in this connection? Does it designate an enemy who says openly and truly, "I am against Christ"? Or does it designate one who says plausibly, yet falsely, "I am for Christ"? Which? To determine this, let us look at the force given to this prefix by writers in both classic literature and Holy Scripture. First, the old classic writers. By these, the preposition anti is often employed to designate a substitute. This is, in fact, a very common use of it in the classic writers. For instance, antibasilus, he who is the locum tenens of a king, or as we now should say, viceroy, anti having in this case the force of the English term vice, he who would fill the place of consul, was antihupatos, proconsul. He who took the place of an absent guest at a feast was styled antidepnos. The preposition is used in this sense of the great substitute himself. Christ is said to have given himself as an antilutron, a ransom in the stead of all. Classic usage does not require us to give only one sense to this word and restrict it to one who seeks openly and by force to seat himself in the place of another, and by violent usurpation bring that other's authority to an end. We are at liberty to apply it to one who steals into the office of another under the mask of friendship, and while professing to uphold his interest, labors to destroy them. This leaves us free to turn to the use of the word in Scripture. The Antichrist comes first into view in our Lord's discourse recorded in Matthew chapter 24, verse 24. And Mark chapter 13, verse 22. For false Christs, pseudo-Christos, and false prophets shall arise, and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. Our Lord does not indeed use the word Antichrist, but what is almost its synonym, pseudo-Christ. Nevertheless, the persons whose coming he foretells are in the line of Antichrist. They belong to the same family, and their grand characteristic is deception. Manifestly, they are not open enemies, but pretended friends. They are false Christs and false prophets, and as such are forerunners of that great Antichrist, who is to succeed them, and in whom they are to find their fuller development and final consummation. They shall seek by signs and wonders, false of course, to obscure the glory of Christ's true miracles, to weaken the evidence of his messiahship arising therefrom, and to draw men away from him and after themselves. The other place in the New Testament in which reference is made to Antichrist is the first and second epistles of John. The idea which John presents of the Antichrist is quite in harmony with that of our Lord. John looks for him in the guise of a deceiver. "Little children," says John, 1 Epistle, chapter 2, verse 18, "it is the last time, and as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists." After this announcement of a special and great Antichrist to follow in the wake of those minor Antichrists that were already arrived, and were urging their claims on the attention of the world, he comes to look more closely at the giant who was to stand up after these dwarfs had passed away. He notes prominently one characteristic of him, and it is his falsehood. Antichrist, says John, is to be a liar. Verse 22. "Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ?" He is Antichrist, that denieth the Father and the Son. St. John's words, says Archbishop Trench, seem to me decisive on the matter. The resistance to and defiance of Christ, not the false assumption of his character and offices, is the essential mark of Antichrist. Synonyms of the New Testament by R.C. Trench, B.D., page 120, Cambridge and London, 1854. Such is Dr. Trench's opinion, but he gives no grounds for it, and we are unable to imagine any. We draw the exactly opposite conclusion from the Apostle's words, even that the false assumption of his character and offices is an essential mark of Antichrist. "He is a liar," says John, "but if he comes boldly and truthfully avowing himself the enemy of Christ, how is he a liar? If he avows without concealment his impious design of overthrowing Christ, with what truth can he be spoken of as a deceiver?" But such is the character plainly ascribed to him by John. Second Epistle, verse 7. "For many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh." This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Plainly, the exegesis, or rather supposition of Dr. Trench, is inadmissible. Dr. Chalmers had no difficulty in seeing the Roman system in the apostasy predicted by Paul. We find him saying in his scripture readings, "Save us, O Lord, from falling away, lest we share in the perdition that waiteth on the great apostasy." We hold the usurpation of Rome to be evidently pointed at, and therefore let us maintain our distance and keep up our resolute protest against its great abominations. Dr. Chalmers, Sabbath Scripture Readings, Volume 1, page 310, Edinburgh, 1848. Archbishop Trench was misled, it may be, by the strength of the term deny. He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. But he who does not confess when he is called to do so, denies. Such is the use of the word in these applications. Such is the use John makes of it in this very passage. "For many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh." It is clear that Antichrist, as depicted by our Lord and by his apostle John, is to wear a mask and to profess one thing and act another. He is to enter the church as Judas entered the garden, professedly to kiss his master, but in reality to betray him. He is to come with words of peace in his mouth, but war in his heart. He is to be a counterfeit Christ, Christ's likeness stamped on base metal. He is to be an imitation of Christ, a close, clever, and astute imitation, which will deceive the world for ages. Those only accepted who taught by the Holy Spirit shall be able to see through the disguise and detect the enemy under the mask of a friend.